Ministers from 14 nations across the Asia-Pacific and United States have commenced meetings in Brisbane to discuss the proposed India-Pacific Economic Framework. The IPEF aims to promote relations across four pillars, including trade, supply chains, and a fair and clean economy. Dr. Patricia Reynolds, convener of the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network and honorary researcher at the University of Sydney, is attending the negotiations in Brisbane today. Dr. Reynolds has produced an article for the conversation outlining the goals of the agreement. Kate Sarp asked Dr. Reynolds what the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework hopes to achieve.
I should explain that IPEF is an initiative of the US involving Australia and 13 other countries in the Indo-Pacific. So there's the US, Australia, Brunei, Fiji, India, Indonesia, Japan, South Korea, Malaysia, New Zealand, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand and Vietnam, but not China. The main purpose from the point of view of the US is to set up a series of economic relationships and standards which suit the US and which are intended to divert supply chains away from China and towards the US and US allies.
With the commitments to standardising human rights, labour rights and environmental considerations from the negotiations, why are these important and how would you suggest nations follow the commitments in the future?
Well, we hope that those commitments will be fulfilled, but at the moment it's not clear how they will actually be implemented, whether they will be more than words on paper. And one of the issues that makes this difficult to know is that the negotiations, the details are still being kept secret. In fact, Australia and other countries have signed agreements with the US saying that the details of the negotiations won't be revealed until 5 years after the end of the negotiations. They will come up with a final text, which will be reviewed, but during the negotiations, no one's allowed to see the detail. This is a bit contradictory for the Albanese government because they have actually said they will have a more open process for trade agreements. At the moment, I'm in Brisbane and we're about to be able to present to some of the IPEF negotiators our views about what should be in the standards about human rights, labour rights and the environment. But they're not allowed to tell us anything of the detail of what they're discussing. So it's a bit of a one-way street. So in order to actually have some input from representatives of labour and environment and other groups, we're arguing that there has to be more open access to the details, the text of what they're discussing in the negotiations. Now, what we would like is for those standards to be based on International Labour Organization standards in the case of labour, which most countries have signed up to, or in the case of the environment, we would like them to be based on United Nations agreements like the Paris Agreement and other environmental agreements, including those dealing with climate change, and we'd like them to be fully enforceable. And the reason that's important is that if we increase trade and competition without having those basic frameworks in place, there is a tendency for those standards to be eroded by intensive competition. So we want governments who sign up to trading arrangements to say these are the basic floors on which we build trade arrangements, that is, internationally recognised human rights, labour rights and environmental standards.
Considering six Australian MPs visited Taiwan last week, how do you think China will respond to this further exclusionary treatment?
There's lots of backbench MPs in Australia who visited Taiwan, so I don't think that's connected. I mean, obviously, we're a US ally in the region and globally. But Australia also wants to maintain trading relationships with China, even though we have big differences with China on human rights and other issues. China is still Australia's biggest trading partner. So the dilemma for Australia is maintaining our independence and our ability to criticise China, but still maintaining some sort of trading relationship. Now, that's been done in the past, but the tensions have risen in the last few years. Most ASEAN countries also want to be able to maintain some sort of trading relationship with China while having their own independent foreign policies and policies on human rights and labour rights and so on. I think the balancing act for our government will be not to be too caught up in the US competition with China, and also being able to keep on having positive open relationships with the ASEAN countries who don't want to face a zero-sum choice between trading with China on the one hand and having the US as an ally on the other.
Dr. Patricia Renold, convener of the Australian Fair Trade and Investment Network and honorary research at the University of Sydney, ending that report by Kate Sapp.